Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Ernst.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for informational and educational purposes only. You should always consult a qualified healthcare practitioner for all of your healthcare needs. Hello, this is Mike King with Merryman Herbs. It's a Better Life show. And today we have with us again, Dr. Vanessa Pavey. How are you doing, Dr. Pavey?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We always get a lot of great information from you. You're the education scientist and a naturopathic doctor. You went to Bastyr. We've talked about your history. You've been with Life Extension for how many years now?
Oh, over 5 years.
Great. And you've been in the industry for a long time. And again, you're a younger person. So I've been around for a long time. And, you know, when I talk, well, I've been doing this for 100 years. But again, you got a lot of experience. You've been in the industry for a long time. And you work for Life Extension, which is one of my favorite companies. They put out a wonderful magazine. They've got a lot of great education. You're basically founder and owner. Mr. Falloon has done a lot for the Shea and promoting natural products. But the thing I really like about your company, it's very scientific. Scientifically based. You look at a lot of clinical studies and science. Everything's backed by science. And then, of course, quality is number one with you. So I'm really happy about that. Can you tell us just a little bit more today about Life Extension and what your company does?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, our primary goal is getting health-related information out to, well, just the public.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons why we put out our Life Extension monthly magazine.
Yes, and it's a wonderful magazine. I read it monthly, and we have it available for our customers, too. So if you come out to Merryman Herbs, you can get a free copy of that magazine. It is chock full of some of the latest up-to-date information and new innovation. Again, there's just hardly any way that we can do everything that's in that magazine and do shows on everything. We were trying to set up some shows here. It's like, I think we've got about 12 more items that we're going to have to get to before the end of the year, and by that time you'll probably have 12 more. Another thing that we've mentioned about your company too, which I really like, is generally once you have a product, you don't discontinue it unless you really advance it or something like that. And I appreciate that. It seems like I'll get a really good product from a company and they decide to just discontinue it because maybe the sales aren't good enough or they have problems. Again, the big thing right now is what we're seeing is supply problems. So there's a great stomach acid reliever called GastroEase from Now, and they're waiting for the next crop. They've completely sold out of all the raw materials. And sometimes there's an issue, too, with quality, which, again, is very good. I mean, again, companies, they're just not going to make the product unless they can get the quality where they want. And I do appreciate that, but then we run out of product, too, so that can be a problem. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about fairly new product. I don't know exactly when this came out, the Super K Elite. When did you come out with that? Was that earlier this year or last year?
Actually, it was last year. It was in April.
Okay. Yes, I've been wanting to do a show on this for quite a while. And vitamin K is good for a lot of different things, and we'll get into that later in the show. But I think what we'll start out with right now is vitamin K. And I was talking with you off air about all the different forms, and you really know a lot about it. So tell us about vitamin K and the forms of vitamin K and where they come from and why your company decided to do what I consider a very holistic formulation. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different forms of vitamin K, topped off with a little vitamin C, and I'm curious about that too. So tell us about this product and the different forms of vitamin K.
Oh, absolutely. So now vitamin K is actually a big class of vitamins. The two major categories of vitamin K are the phylloquinone, which is vitamin K1, which is primarily found in, like, your green leafy vegetables.
Okay. So, yeah, eat your vegetables.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then the second major category are the miniquinones. Now, miniquinones are usually kind of more created in, like, fermented kinds of foods, like from bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
There's several different forms of vitamin K2. In fact, in terms of vitamin K2, the miniquinones, we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10,
wow,
which are the forms. Yeah, so those are abbreviated like MK4, MK5, all the way up to MK10.
And then there is a K3, which is known as, I think, minidione, but that is kind of a synthetic and it's toxic. So we're not going to even talk about that because that's not in any of the formulas. And I don't think, let's not make it complicated and we don't need to worry about it. So you've got the K1, the K2, the K3, and then we go into the miniquin 4 and then on up to 10, I guess. I guess number 5, they've just left that out. I don't know what that isomer is like or whatever, but they decided probably, we don't want this one. Or maybe it's just really hard to produce. No, go ahead and start talking about the different forms here of the K2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, the numbering system it refers to the number of double bonds in the carbon tail.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's more of a chemical structure piece.
There is
a maniquinone 5 as well. But yeah, the 5, the 8, the 10, these are not commercially available, so they're not usually found in supplementation.
Okay.
But the maniquinone 4, 7, 6, and 9 are available for supplementation.
Okay. Now, and we hear a lot about those, too, and some people really push the 7. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about what all these do.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree. There is a big push for the 7 because most of the research studies are done on maniquinone 4 and maniquinone 7.
Okay.
Now, the main difference between the two is that maniquinone 4 is rapidly absorbed into the body, but it only lasts in the bloodstream for a short period of time.
Okay.
Versus MK7, that sticks in the bloodstream for up to 48 hours.
Is that maybe because it has more of the double bonds and it's maybe harder to break down? Does it have something to do with that? Because I've read that the MK7 does stay in the body much longer.
It does. It does have a longer bioavailability. It could be due to the chemical structure. And as a reminder, that these are fat-soluble vitamins, so they do stick around a little bit longer than, like, for example, some of the water-soluble vitamins. But MK4 does leave the body, the bloodstream, at least very quickly.
Okay. Now, MK4 is found in, like, butter, egg yolks, and some animal-based products. But are you using a natural form, or are you using, you know, something that's, you know, manufactured as far as the MK4?
Well, for the MK4, well, that's pretty easily synthesized in a laboratory.
Uh-huh.
So we are synthesizing that one.
Okay.
You know, in terms of purity and potency, once it's synthesized, it's heavily, heavily, heavily purified.
Okay.
So what you're getting is MK4.
Okay, because we had another guest on the radio, I think over a year ago, that was talking about the Thrive MK7 and what they were doing with that, and they basically mentioned that sometimes with the MK4, there is some byproducts that aren't really good. So that's really nice to know that you really focus on the purity and making sure that it's, you know, really good, safe form like nature intended for the MK4 form. That's really good to know.
Oh, yeah, because how I think of it is the most important thing is it being bioidentical. Whether it is something created in nature or created in a laboratory, as long as it's the exact same structure that's found in nature that our body can recognize, that's the most important piece.
Right. In fact, I know I was in the fragrance industry for years, and they always talked about bioidentical fragrances, and you really couldn't tell the difference. So the thing that I'm seeing, too, is, again, the AED and K are the fat-soluble vitamins. What I'm seeing here is that would make it easy for this to be like a once a day. You don't have to take, like, vitamin C, sometimes you have to take that more frequently than once a day, like one in the morning, one in the evening, because it really doesn't stay in your body as well. With vitamin K, is this something that definitely you could just take once a day? Because it does stay in your body longer?
You can take it once a day, but the most important piece is taking it with your heaviest meal of the day.
Okay.
It is fat soluble. Yeah, it'll absorb with the fat from your meal.
So okay, again, like we were talking last time about the vitamin D, you know, you were talking about a tablespoon and a half of olive oil or equivalent to that. What was it, 11 grams, I think, to be that added fat for the absorption of D. So the K is kind of the same thing then, right?
Correct. Yeah, we were talking about vitamin D, and the studies are showing that you need about 11 grams of fat in your meal to optimally absorb your vitamin D.
Right.
So if you're taking vitamin D with you, that heavier, fattier meal, I would bring on the vitamin K at the same time.
Awesome. And then you've got a product that has the vitamin D, the K, and the iodine in it, correct?
We sure do. Yeah. But our most comprehensive formula would be our Super K Elite product.
Right, because it's got all the Ks in it.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about vitamin K, the MK4 and the MK7 forms of the maniquinone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also MK6 and MK9.
Yes, tell us about that. Yeah, that's different. I don't see that very often in a formula. I'm just going to ask you straight out, is there anybody that has, because I haven't really seen this. I've seen the 9s, but I really haven't seen the 6. Are you the only one that has all of these in there?
Well, Life Extension likes to stay on the cutting edge of research.
Yes.
Absolutely. So usually we're one of the first ones to bring out these newer innovative products because we do the research. And then, you know, after Life Extension does the research, comes out with a product, then we'll start to see maybe some other companies bring on those same kind of nutrients.
Right.
There may be some other companies bringing them out, but yeah, Life Extension tends to stay on the cutting edge.
And what I like, too, is you use a lot of branded, clinically studied products. And the other thing that I see, too, is sometimes a company will kind of copy what you have or come out with what you have. And by that time, you've already improved and advanced it because you already, you know, you've already been there. You've been doing it for a while, and then you make it even better. So I love that. Hey, I think before we go any further into these K's, know a little bit more about them, I just wanted to point out that actually your body does, I think, in the bacteria in your intestinal tract will produce a little bit of K2 also. Is that correct?
Absolutely, but okay. In very, very small quantities. And here's how it works.
Okay.
The bacteria that in your digestive tract will actually take the vitamin K1 that you're consuming from your food. So like if you're eating a lot of your green vegetables like the kind of the rough fibery ones, that vitamin K will end up in the colon and then the bacteria will ferment it into vitamin K2.
Okay.
Now, we may not see a lot of absorption. We might get a little bit of it, and it is in smaller quantities. So oftentimes, if we're just relying on what our bacteria is making, we may not have enough circulating vitamin K2 to give the benefits that it provides.
Okay, so Dr. Pavey, you're telling me we need to supplement because we're just not going to get enough in particularly in the sad standard American diet. Is that correct?
Oh, unfortunately. In fact, some of those foods that a lot of people are trying to avoid that do contain vitamin K2 would include like egg yolks and hard cheeses like Gouda, which can, you know, provide a lot of cholesterol and saturated fat.
Right.
So people tend to try to avoid those foods, so we may not be getting as much vitamin K2 in our diet as we think.
Okay, so K1 really is one of those things that we get from the green leafy vegetables, which we're probably not eating enough of, and then the K2, which we can produce a little bit of it. We're still not getting the core, the things that make that up, the butter, the egg yolks, and so forth, because we're supposed to be staying away from that. So really, vitamin K is something that we probably should look at the levels and make sure that we're getting enough of that, or do we even have to watch? I know with vitamin D, you know, there's a blood test. Do we even have to watch our levels of vitamin K or just kind of balance it with the D? How do we do that?
It's a little trickier to determine our vitamin K status.
Mm-hmm.
There are blood tests that we can run for vitamin K1.
Okay.
But assessing vitamin K2 activity is a little bit more difficult.
Well, I'm seeing now, here too, just to interject here, I'm seeing that, you know, that the K2 is extremely safe. There's really no toxicity. Is there an upper limit for that?
Oh, good question. In terms of all of the forms of vitamin K, there is no known toxic dose.
I've heard that.
Just to let you know, there have been studies done with the MK4 version in mega doses. Typically, like, for example, what Life Extension suggests on a regular daily basis is about 1,000 micrograms of MK4 up to, like, 1,500 micrograms.
Mm-hmm.
But there are studies using 45,000 micrograms of MK4.
That is a mega dose.
Side effects.
And there's no side effects. Oh, but this is the study I'm thinking of. They gave it to, was it rats or something? And they even lived longer and were healthier than the other ones that didn't get any at all. So they were, even the high doses, they did real well with it. I think that's the study. Have you heard of that one?
I have heard of a lot of animal studies.
Yeah.
But the one I'm referring to is actually a human study.
Oh, okay.
With the study participants had osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a study done in Japan. And they were utilizing that mega dose of 45,000 micrograms of the MK4 and did not find any toxic effects.
And did it help with the osteoporosis, too? Did they get some benefit from it?
Vitamin K is well known for supporting bone density.
Yeah.
And here's how it works.
Okay, yeah, let's go into that. Okay.
Yeah, so really, especially why there's no known toxic dose, is because vitamin K helps to support the activation of proteins in our body called GLA proteins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's multiple different types of GLA proteins. Like, for example, our clotting factors.
Right.
Some of them are considered GLA proteins. A molecule that's made in our bone cells is called osteocalcin, which is a GLA protein. And what's important for cardiovascular health is these GLA proteins are also found in our soft tissue, like our arteries, which are called matrix GLA proteins. Now, vitamin K activates or turns on, or chemically speaking, carboxylates these GLA proteins.
Mm-hmm.
So when we carboxylate that osteocalcin, it helps to congregate calcium into the bone so we can provide that nice support for bone density.
Wow. And again, your body knows what to do with it. What does it do? Because it's a fat-soluble vitamin. Does it store it, or does it your body just naturally get rid of that extra vitamin K that it's not going to use?
It is metabolized and eliminated, but there is some stores in the liver.
Okay. So the liver, again, it stores a lot of stuff. Your liver is so important. Again, you know, we really need to take care of our liver. So we've got a product here that's got all the different forms, the Aminoquin 6 and 9. What are those? Why are those being put in? Do they have some specific benefits? I know 9 is good for cardiovascular. What's the 6? That's kind of new to me.
Oh, absolutely. Both the 6, the Aminoquinone 6 and the Aminoquinone 9 mm-hmm. are both very helpful for cardiovascular health. And it has to do with that GLA protein in our soft tissue.
Right.
Because when we activate that matrix GLA protein in our arteries, it almost like repels calcium. It says, no,
okay.
You can't come here. You have to go somewhere else.
Okay, this is why I think a lot of my customers, and again, the doctors that I work with, you know, they all get their patients on the vitamin K, and a lot of the customers I work with and my clients all come in wanting vitamin K supplement because they have calcifications. I do know that vitamin K is really good for everything from heel spurs to kidney stones. Tell us a little bit about how what vitamin K can do in this area for not just, you know, helping to build bones, but also to help with the calcifications of the arterial wall and things going on like that.
We want to make sure that our calcium is stored where it's supposed to be.
Yes, yes.
And really, it's a wonderful part of our physiology that where we store our calcium is in our bones.
Mm-hmm.
That's our major store, a body store.
And then I think your teeth is the second or something, because they always sometimes say your bones and your teeth.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's wonderful because that provides that structure and density to our bones.
Right.
So it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
But if calcium starts depositing where it's not supposed to, like, for example, our soft tissue,
and a
very concerning place would be in the arteries, because we don't want our arteries hard and stiff like our bones. We want them soft and compliant.
Yes, and I want to just tell you a little anecdotal report here, a little story. I had a customer, her husband had been on what I call the rock calcium, the calcium carbonate, the old school calcium, not the new algae ones that are more bioavailable and go a little bit better where they're supposed to go. He actually had to get heart valve replacements because the heart valves had calcified over the years, and you know that's where the calcium was being laid down, so it actually caused heart damage too, and it got that very expensive and was a major, major issue, life-threatening. I try to educate my customers and let them know, and when I give lectures and talk to the different hospitals and things like that, and even on the radio show here, you really need to get a good form of calcium. But vitamin K, I've seen a lot of people reverse calcifications. Tell us a little bit about that, because again, people come in, they're like, can this really help to clean my arteries? That's not really exactly what's going on, but can you explain how vitamin K can be beneficial for calcifications?
Well, when it comes to nutrition, it's really all about balance.
Mm-hmm.
Most people need I'm talking about adults,
mm-hmm.
about 1,200 milligrams of calcium.
Okay. Okay.
And that includes, you know, what we're getting from our food and our supplements. So that would be total for the whole day.
Okay.
But really, we don't want to do an excess. There have been studies showing that if you're doing more than 1,400 milligrams of calcium, that can be problematic,
mm-hmm.
or too much calcium trying to find its way to where it's supposed to be.
Right.
Now, if we start having calcium depositing where it's not supposed to, that's a huge indicator to me that we may not be activating our matrix GLA proteins as aggressively as we need.
Vitamin K deficiency.
I would say that we would need to be more aggressive at supporting vitamin K. And vitamin K2, the miniquinones, like miniquinone 4, 7, mm-hmm. 6, and 9, these can really they have more of an affinity for the matrix GLA of the soft tissue to activate them.
In other words, though, if you do have calcium buildup, because I know, like with cholesterol, people think, oh, cholesterol, you know, you take cholesterol removing product like the arginine, citrulline, nitrous oxide pathway, things like that, that'll help clean out your arterial wall. It's not like inside getting cleaned out, because you have an epithelial layer that covers that cholesterol, and it actually works from the inside, and your body quits laying it down and slowly absorbs it back. Is that kind of what goes on with this calcium? This is not going to – see, people are afraid. Is it going to break calcium loose in the artery and cause a clot? Is anything like that going to happen with this?
I haven't heard of any negative impacts of supplementing with vitamin K.
I haven't either.
And increasing cardiovascular risk. Most of the studies are showing benefit to cardiovascular health with vitamin K.
So basically, what we can say is that it would slow down or stop the calcium buildup because it's pushing that GLA protein and helping with the basically putting the calcium where it needs to go, stopping that laying down and probably helping your body to reabsorb and put that calcium where it's really supposed to go and not in the arterial wall.
One of the ways that I like to think about it is what we want to do is mm-hmm. we want to help our body's natural physiological processes.
Yes.
And vitamins and minerals do play these chemical roles in our body, which is mm-hmm. why we need to make sure that these vitamin and mineral status is optimal.
Right.
Make sure that we can function the way that our body is meant to function. Mm-hmm. When things start going awry, it's usually because the body can't function the way that it needs to because it's not being supplied the material that it requires.
And it needs good material because I think, you know, people don't understand sometimes, like with the calcium carbonate, that's basically chalk. And then there's really good forms of the sea algae. I kind of tell people, you know, where do you want to get your iron from? Licking the rust off of a car or from spinach? Where do you want to get your calcium from? Eating chalk or from a sea algae? So that's the kind of analogy that I use. And again, you know, a company like yours would be producing a product that makes it very bioavailable and making it from good, clean sources. So your body knows how to use it and maybe doesn't put it in the wrong places. Because I know that calcium carbonate, maybe only out of, you know, we were talking, let's just say 1,000 milligrams. Out of that 1,000 milligrams, actually, I was in a conference in Chicago about 10 years ago with a scientist that really knew a lot about that, a doctor, and she was saying that maybe only 5 of that 1,000 milligrams, only 5 actually get into your bones and are applied laying down in your bones. The rest of it, you know, bone spurs, breast and prostate calcifications, kidney stones, on and on and on. Again, if you don't take the good right form, and this is, you know, again, something we do at Merryman. We try to get the most bioavailable, the safest, cleanest form so your body can do that. And in a dosage that's not going to be wasteful or expensive. I mean, that's what we try to do. Let's go into, because we're going to run out of time here pretty soon. Let's kind of go into, we've talked about all the forms of the minoquinone, the K1, the K2, the K3, the big Ks. And, of course, the minoquinones are the K2s. And is it phytodione that's the K1? Is that kind of what you call it, or do you have another name for that?
Nope. Yep. The okay. Phyloquinones is
K1. Yeah. And then the K3, which we're not going to talk about because it's not in anything. It's toxic, and we don't need to worry about it. Let's go into some of these things. But first, I do want to point this out. People are always worried about vitamin K and clotting. There is a brand name of the Warfarin, which is Coumadin, and it actually blocks the vitamin K-dependent pathways. The newer drugs, anti-clotting drugs, they work a little bit different. And those would be, again, there's a whole bunch of them like Eliquis, Xarelto, Pradaxa. Those actually work on a newer, different pathway. So vitamin K doesn't really interact with that at all. There are some science out there. I had a letter from a major university in Norway that did some studies that actually the MK7, the pure form, doesn't interfere with warfarin. But what I would tell you is warfarin and Coumadin reacts with almost everything, and it's a drug that I would definitely talk to your doctor about. If you're going to be supplementing, just be very careful with that. But there are newer drugs out there that maybe you would want to be interested in. You really don't have to worry about that with the vitamin K supplementation because it works. Those new drugs work on different pathways, so you don't have to worry about that. And then again, I always question, and don't you question, like when your doctor says, well, you shouldn't be eating green leafy vegetables because we have you on this pharmaceutical and it'll interfere with that. It's like, yeah, but I need to eat my vegetables.
Well, here's how it works with warfarin and Coumadin.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Because, yeah, since we talked about vitamin K1 mm-hmm. Supporting those certain clotting factors
yes.
that are matrix, or excuse me, a GLA protein.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how warfarin and Coumadin work is, well, to back up a little bit, vitamin K does not stimulate clotting. We have to make that very clear.
Right, okay.
And here's why. If vitamin K actually stimulated clotting, every time we ate a spinach salad, everyone would end up with a clot.
Yes.
Of course, doesn't happen.
Good point. That's a good point. Yes, very good point.
So we just have to have vitamin K in our body in order to clot at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're trying to slow down the clotting process, it would make sense that if we try to slow down vitamin K working in that clotting process, then of course we wouldn't be able to clot as efficiently, which
mm-hmm.
is where warfarin and Coumadin come into play. Now, when we're dosing warfarin and Coumadin, when your doctor's dosing it, it wants to dose the warfarin and Coumadin based on how much vitamin K you do have in your system.
Mm-hmm.
But typically they'll treat maybe one spinach salad a day. Well, then we're going to dose your warfarin and coumadin based on the amount of vitamin K that you're consuming on a regular basis. But don't alter it. That if you're eating a spinach salad every day, you have to eat one every single day while you're on warfarin or coumadin.
Gotcha.
Now, if you
okay.
add more vitamin K to the mix, then the warfarin and coumadin aren't going to work the way that it's supposed to.
Right, and then you got to do another ProTime test and all that kind of stuff and reset your dosage and all of that. So there's a lot of options there, I think. That's a really good point. Again, I know there's a lot of clotting factors that causes your blood to clot, and then, of course, fibrin is what will basically break down that clot. And vitamin K is just something that's in there as a clotting factor, but it doesn't actually, like you said, it doesn't actually like immediately cause a clot or anything. It's a building block, correct?
It's a cofactor. For clotting
there
to even being able to happen.
Right, right. Yeah, like the quinone donor to the Krebs cycle, CoQ10. Without that, doesn't run very well. So anyway, we're almost out of time here. Let's get into really quickly about some of the things. If you are deficient in vitamin K2, it will lead to a number of chronic diseases. So we can't really say K2 is going to cure anything. But if you don't have enough K2, you're going to have problems with osteoporosis, heart disease, heart attack and stroke, inappropriate calcification. Again, we've talked about arterial calcification. It's very important for your brain disease, and even cancer. K2 plays a very important part in that. I think we've covered just about everything with K2, but again, what is the dosing on this? Is it just one a day?
Correct. In terms of the Life Extension product, one pill a day. It's in a little soft gel. And did you want me to give the dosing of how much different forms of vitamin K are in it?
We can. I mean, I was noticing that it has 10 milligrams of vitamin C in there. Why is the vitamin C in there?
Oh, it is a fat-soluble form of vitamin C as just additional antioxidant support.
Oh, okay. All right. And then you've got 3,735 micrograms of these different ones, and they are probably, I bet you, they're from clinical studies, right?
We dose everything based on the research studies, absolutely.
Yep, that's say no more. So if anybody wants what really is in there, the amounts, they can take a look. But I know it's all coming from the scientific studies, which is absolutely awesome. Again, Super K Elite is a comprehensive vitamin K for vascular and skeletal support. It does promote healthy calcium balance, and it supports your heart health through the MK9, and it encourages bone and arterial health with the MK7, which is a trans MK7, which is very important because I think obviously that's more bioavailable, and it helps maintain healthy bone density and vascular health with the MK4. And you also have a little bit of the K1, which is very good. Well, not a little bit, but quite a bit. I think there's 2,000 micrograms in there. Really well-rounded formula. And guess what, Dr. Pavey?
Oh, no, we're out of time again.
Yeah, we are. It goes so fast. Yes, it does. It's a pleasure having you on. And again, I think you've taught us a lot about vitamin K today. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And thanks again for having me on.
If you would like to listen to this show again, go to merriman.com/radio. That's MARIMANN.com.
Life just got a little better thanks to Merriman Earth.